Welcome back. I hope, however, that time was spent, that it was nurturing, and of benefit. And as I mentioned before, we'll just move right into the sit. So I will again ask you to close your eyes if that feels comfortable, or drop the gaze, camera on, camera off, whatever will be most beneficial for your body. And just to take the initial moments just to check in. Again, kind of the where am I? How is the body? I love the line that Jack, I don't know if he still says it or not, but we take our seats halfway between heaven and earth. And again, as I mentioned before, imagining, if it's helpful, rooting into the loamy soil to anchor ourselves to the earth's energies. And then allowing the upper part of our body to connect to the heavenly spheres, allowing ourselves to be held by both, allowing their ourselves to deepen into that invitation of belonging, belonging in the natural world. There's nowhere else to be, right? We're here. Allow the body to come into a posture that allows her to feel upright and alert, and this may be sitting or it may be lying down. It's just more the energetics of being available to oneself, to the teachings. Allowing yourself also to take your place in this Dharma sisterhood, whether it's your first time here or if you've been here since the beginning, back when Deborah and Julie held the class. Many of us struggle with a sense of belonging. And I want to invite you to put on your cape of belonging and take your seat in this circle. And with your eyes gently closed, it's helpful to have a hand to the heart, hand to the belly, and just breathing in. Oh, just here. Nowhere else to be, just here. I'm going to do a little bit of a guided meditation. It won't be too long. And I know sometimes folks just like quiet, so you can turn the volume down. Take care of yourself. So just to start in the body, allow yourself to anchor here. Again, feet on the floor or whatever the feet are resting upon, noticing what's supporting your tush. Feeling the bones of support, the skull, the vertebrae, the rib cage, clavicle, shoulder blades, long arms of the bones and the legs, the pelvic bowl, the little bones in the hands and the feet. Can you allow yourself to just rest here in the bones? In this very portable earth element of ours. Nowhere else to be, nothing else to do. Can you feel into this relative stillness in your own form? The mind is doing what it's doing, and you're allowing your attention to rest on the bones in the body. A body that may be uncomfortable or comfortable, right? I find it helpful to work with the imagery of the bones as a way of focusing what it means to rest the awareness in the body. Aligning the energies of the earth with the earth element in this body. And for some of us, we might want to just stay right here, practicing with the earth element, practicing being in touch with the relative stillness of the bones, our connection to the earth below and around us. For the second offering, just be to concentrate on the heart, the tenderness of the heart. So many of us have been going through so much, right? Or we have beloveds that are going through so much. It's an odd time. If it's helpful to have the hand there, both hands on the heart, and just noticing, can we meet this beautiful, brave, tender heart? Some of us maybe with sitting with a broken heart, with those who we've lost, perhaps, or different kinds of sorrow. And some of us maybe sitting with a heart that's full and buoyant. Okay. And just noticing, allowing the attention just to rest. The hands are here to maybe feel the beating of the heart. To allow yourself to include the Sangha we're sitting with, this beautiful sisterhood of powerful beating hearts. The mind does what it does with thoughts and stories and comments, problem solving or problem creating. Okay, just let it go by. Let those thoughts go like the proverbial clouds. And allowing the attention either to remain on the relative stillness in this earth element of the bones. Or if it's helpful, again, with the hands perhaps over the heart center or the heart. Just feeling into the steadiness, the tenderness, the beauty of this heart of ours. Please remember that there's no such thing as a bad sit. We come, we take our seats, and we see how we are. Sometimes those delicious sits with a quiet, steady mind and the body feels good. And other times we're all over the place and can't wait for the bell to ring. Okay. We don't need to make that a problem. If you have showed up, you are already committed. Can we just be curious? Oh, in this moment, it's like this. And my relationships to the earth element, to the bones, are like this. My relationship to the beating of my heart is like this. Just steady awareness, curiosity, gentleness. Yeah. Enjoy. It's always so lovely to sit together. Nice to see everybody. I thought today we could continue on this theme of the heart and the tenderness, the lion-heartedness, the ferocity of our hearts, right? Depending on the moment, depending on the day. And to anchor this in the metta teachings. And some of you know the story, but I'll share it anyway. This is the story about metta as protection, sort of in the mythology of the teachings, that as the story goes, there was a group of monks, and the Buddha had encouraged them to go sit in a new place in the woods, quite a bit away from where the Buddha was living. It's like, you all go up there and practice. So the monks dutifully went up into the woods and tried to establish their practice. But the tree spirits and the animal spirits were like, no, we don't like you guys. And the longer they stayed, the as the story goes, the trees were emitting terrible smells and terrible sounds. And the monks appropriately felt like it was haunted, and it was just so unpleasant they couldn't stay. And so they go running back to the Buddha, like, you can't stay there. We can't stay there. It's too harsh, it's too unfriendly. Please let us stay here, or can we find somewhere new? And the Buddha says, I got you. I'll offer you the perfect protection that will enable you to sit anywhere and feel safe. And they're a little wary, wishing, like, actually, we want to go somewhere new. He says, no, let's go back up. So they go back up. And the Buddha teaches them the metta practice of wishing well. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be peaceful. Wishing these phrases to a benefactor, to sort of a neutral stranger, someone we may or may not know very well, to the difficult person, and to all beings. Sharon Salzberg, who teaches at IMS in Barre, Massachusetts, really brought back this form of a metta practice that is so commonly shared in our lineage. But the teachings of metta, the Metta Sutra, of this well-wishing for others was the protection that the monks needed. So dutifully, the monks took their seats and offered these well-wishings to the tree spirits, to the animal spirits, to all the beings that didn't like them, the devas in the different realms. And over time, as you can imagine how the story goes, all the spirits settled and softened, and they became allies and supportive of the monks. So this metta practice, which is the Pali word for loving kindness, is really rooted in a protection practice. How do we protect our hearts? When the Dalai Lama speaks of some of the monks who escaped from China, and there's a classic story probably many of you have heard of the one monk who, in an interview with the Dalai Lama, he says, they almost got me, as he's describing terrible torture. Oh, they almost got me. And the Dalai Lama says, what? What almost happened? And the monk replied, I almost started to hate them. But he relied on his metta practice, or his version of metta practice in the Tibetan lineage, and was able to stay equanimous of heart and generous of spirit to extend that loving kindness to his torturers. So it's that in which that's the pointing of the protection of, can we protect the goodness of our own heart? Nelson Mandela's story is very much in the same field of someone who was able to turn his curiosity, his interest, into a form of metta. I doubt he would use that word, as how he befriended the guards in Robben Island. So this way in which we can lean into these teachings as a way of protecting this tender heart of ours that really can get beaten up in relationships, losses. I know just in our very own sangha, the losses of beloved humans and beloved animals that we've known about, and how can we lean into these teachings, particularly of metta, compassion, joy, and equanimity, the other Brahma-Viharas, are indeed helpful in supporting the heart. They are the perfections of the heart. Yeah, that's not quite actually right. They're the divine abodes. The perfections are something else. These divine abodes, but this loving kindness can really be a gateway into honoring the strength and the tenderness of our heart. I wish I had more Brené Brown at my hands, my fingertips, because she speaks so beautifully about the vulnerable heart and the strength of the vulnerable heart. That line of a soft front, strong back, as, and particularly as women, how do we honor men too, more in the feminine realm, the power of our caring heart, aware that, oh, we're going to get hurt. The heart's going to break. Yeah. And I've spoken about this before, that Leonard Cohen, the crack, the break in the heart, that's where the light gets in. And sometimes it can just feel so impossibly difficult. Okay. How do we turn in such a tender way towards our own heart? And often, I know for myself, until I really embodied and worked with the metta practice, pre-Buddhism, my experience exposure to Buddhism, I had a very, very harsh critic that would have really been more than happy to beat up the broken heart. That's just how it happened. And being able to offer to ourselves a tenderness where we may receive that from others, from beloveds, and we may not. But how do we work within our own selves to make sure that when there is a heartache due to loss or fear or any number of causes of a broken heart, that we can meet ourselves with a sense of tenderness, and compassion. May you be happy, may you be healthy, may you be peaceful, are some of the common phrases that we might do later. The poems I want to share are on my computer, which is why I'm looking over. To start with a classic poem on metta, again, probably many of you know this, and it is definitely one of my favorites, but it's by Naomi Shihab Nye, Kindness. Before you know what kindness really is, you must lose things. Feel the future dissolve in a moment, like salt in a weakened broth. What you held in your hand, what you counted and carefully saved, all this must go, so you know how desolate the landscape can be between the regions of kindness. How you ride and ride, thinking the bus will never stop, the passengers eating maize and chicken will stare out the window forever. Before you learn the tender gravity of kindness, you must travel where the Indian in a white poncho lies dead by the side of the road. You must see how this could be you, how he too was someone who journeyed through the night with plans and the simple breath that kept him alive. Before you know kindness as the deepest thing inside, you must know sorrow as the other deepest thing. You must wake up with sorrow. You must speak of it till your voice catches the thread of all sorrows and you see the size of the cloth. Then it is only kindness that makes sense anymore, only kindness that ties your shoes and sends you out into the day to gaze at bread. Only kindness that raises its head from the crowd of the world to say, "It is I you have been looking for," and then goes with you everywhere like a shadow or a friend. And in this coupling of the metta practice, this extension of goodwill towards ourselves and to other beings, those who are difficult, those we don't maybe know, but we see, and those that are dear to us, this strengthens our capacity to offer this kindness to ourselves. That we may know kindness as the deepest place within our own selves, and as Naomi Shihab Nye points so poignantly, that we must also know sorrow. We must let the heart break and let the heart crack. That the armoring that we can do of nope, I'm fine. Something I used to be very good at when I was a kid. It doesn't help in allowing us to till the soil of a tender and strong and fierce heart. In the beginning years of my practice, the lion-hearted was the word I loved the most, in the sense of the fierceness of heart. And being able to own that in the way that we can stand in that protective, whether we're actually mothers or not, with that kind of mama bear energy is so beautiful, the fierceness, as is also our capacity to be in a tender-hearted place, that the softening of the heart is as equally important and oh, scary. It can be really scary. Which is why we can lean into this protection of the metta practices as a way of strengthening the softened heart, if that makes sense. Another poem. Second Sight by David White. Sometimes you need the ocean light and colors you've never seen before painted through an evening sky. Sometimes you need your God to be a simple invitation, not a telling word of wisdom. Sometimes you need only the first shyness that comes from being shown things far beyond your understanding so that you can fly and become free by being still and by being still here. And then there are many times you need to be brought to ground by touch and touch alone, to know those arms around you, to make your home in the world just by being wanted, to see those eyes looking back at you as eyes should see you at last, seeing you as you always wanted to be seen, seeing you as yourself had always wanted to see the world. And I want to couple that with another poem by Derek Walk, Love After Love. Excuse me. The time will come when, with elation, you will greet yourself arriving at your own door, in your own mirror, and each will smile at the other's welcome and say, sit here, eat. You will love again the stranger who was yourself. Give wine, give bread, give back your heart to itself, to the stranger who has loved you all your life, whom you ignored for another, who knows you by heart. Take down the love letters from the bookshelf, the photographs, and desperate notes. Peel your own image from the mirror. Sit and feast on your life. And these invitations from David White of the desire we all have to be seen and to be known, to be held, and how often we can not offer that to ourselves, which is why I love the Derek Walk poem of the, can we return to ourselves, our own goodness, to the stranger who was yourself, who's loved you all your life, whom you ignored for another, the ways that we can discount ourselves or belittle ourselves or believes other things people have said about ourselves, that we lose that opportunity for connection and support from with our own self to be able to feel like, okay, I know, I truly understand myself. That is no easy feat, right? Having to navigate all the causes and conditions in our lives, what we grew up with, hearing both in our own families and culturally and societally, depending on where it is in the complex and myriad of layers in our society. It's a lot to wade through to find what's actually true, what's the ground upon which that we stand. And I would posit that part of that ground, let me rephrase that, that ground is imbued with the sense of loving kindness. That if we can anchor ourselves in this practice, we're in pretty good shape. And there's a line in the sutta, I don't have it again at my fingertips, but the Buddha saying, essentially, you know, you're walking down the street and some armed, I don't know, bandit comes and chops off your arm and chops off your other arm and steals everything you have, and you should still remain equanimous and loving kindness towards this bandit. It's like, really? That's a little high. I'm not aiming for that. There are beings that do aim for that, and blessings and thank you for doing that. I'm more talking about how can we sort of meet ourselves with a sense of loving kindness. I do appreciate that he's pointing up, this is possible. If we really were to do this, we might have the capacity to meet whatever comes with a loving kindness. And this does not mean we become doormats or that we don't hold discernment or that we don't push back. Yeah, it's not a teaching. Sometimes equanimity can get confused in that way of, okay, it's just how it is. I'll just accept it. I'll stay in relationships that's abusive. I'll stay in a job that's terrible. No, that's not what I'm saying. It's we get to hold on to the anchor of discernment. Is the situation unsafe for me? If not, we take actions. Yeah. It's more protecting our own heart from falling into a trap of hatred or resentment or bitterness. This is really, in some ways, all about us at first, such that we can move in the world with an open heart because we've worked so hard to make sure we can stand in our own goodness, that we don't give it away, that we don't give it away into, again, anger or resentment. And I know from myself, there's been times in my life where I was really cautious in being just so mad. I would say justifiably so. Okay. And it was so unpleasant, so unpleasant. And we worked through it. So it's not a dismissing of the anger. It's not a dismissing of the experience of resentment or bitterness. It's just like, oh, woo. This is what anger feels like. This is what resentment feels like. This is what bitterness feels like. Okay, this is what heartache and sorrow feels like. Okay. You know, sometimes it's really unpleasant. And can we lean into the triple jewels of the refuges of Sangha in particular, coming together as we do each week to feel the support of this global reach of beautiful, strong women? Okay. I don't have to hold this alone. It's unpleasant. Okay. Yeah. And then leaning into these heart practices. So if you're game, what I might do is do a little bit of guided metta practice because I love it. And I think it might be helpful and I've been referencing it. Yeah, I could go into the poetry, but I think I'm going to do this. So if you're game, I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. Wait, actually, no. If you open your eyes and just take a look, if you feel comfortable, at our Sangha. Some of you may know people and some of you may not know anyone, but just to take in these beautiful, dear faces of our Sangha. And it's okay if your camera's off. We got your name. Yeah, so this is our circle of beautiful women wisdom. Okay. And then when you're ready to close your eyes, holding the collage of beautiful faces in your mind, if that feels okay. And I'm going to have us start with ourselves. And some of you have your own phrases, and please use whatever works. But the sort of classic phrases are, may I be happy. And I'm going to have my hands on my heart, and please feel free to do so. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be peaceful. May I be free from suffering. And just allowing these phrases to repeat, to resonate. Often the last word, it's kind of fun to have it. It's like a drop, dropping a stone in a pond. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be safe from inner and outer harm. May I live with ease. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be free from inner and outer harm. May I live with ease. And again, if there are other phrases that you resonate more deeply, by all means. And just noticing how it feels in the body to offer yourself these well wishes. Sometimes some aversion comes up. Okay, don't worry. I know there are people that are like, oh, metta, I don't like this practice. Okay, aversion. No problem. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be safe from inner and outer harm. May I live with ease. This practice is also a unifying practice for the mind. It's good on many levels. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be peaceful. May I be safe from inner and outer harm. May I live with ease. And then calling to mind someone, a beloved, but not a complicated beloved. If it's a child, then it's a picture of a sleeping child. It can be someone you've never met, but whose readings have touched you deeply. A teacher of some form or another. Again, an animal spirit, an animal that's here on earth with us or has passed on. Someone or some being, if you imagine sitting beside you or in front of you, your heart just gladdens such delight when you consider being in the presence of this other person or being animal. and to offer this being these phrases. May you be happy. May you be peaceful. May you be safe from inner and outer harm. May you live with ease. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be safe from inner and outer harm. May your goodness protect you. May you live with ease. For the more visual types, I love to play with the image of offering flowers. May you be happy as a flower. May you be healthy as a flower. May you be peaceful. May you be safe from inner and outer harm. May you live with ease. This is a practice that invites creativity. Allowing yourself to feel the connection of these well wishes being offered to this dear one. Drink that in. May you be happy, healthy. May you be safe from inner and outer harm. May your goodness protect you. And when that feels like a place of completion, to invite that person or animal or being to perhaps sit next to you, or to bow them back from whence they came. And then to call to mind someone like a neutral stranger. It might be someone you just see on the street or at the grocery store that you don't know but is familiar. The familiar stranger is often another name. And to call that person to mind. Just pick one. And to offer this person those phrases. May you be happy and healthy. May you be peaceful. May you be safe from inner and outer harm. May your goodness protect you. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be safe from inner and outer harm. May your goodness protect you. Just notice how it feels to offer these well wishes to someone you don't really have much of a connection to. What's the sense in the body? Maybe offer one or two more rounds of well wishes in whatever form feels good. And then whatever way feels appropriate to bow this person out. We'll go through the different categories. The other classic category is a difficult person. And by no means am I suggesting we bring in the capital D, difficult person, but just someone where there might be a little bit of a tension. Again, not anyone triggering. Just someone where there's a little bit of difficulty. And to imagine offering this person, may you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be peaceful. May you be safe from inner and outer harm. Paying attention to what comes up in the body. If there's an aversion or a clutching or a, oh no, it's okay. You know, this is just practice. And if, maybe pick someone less challenging. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be peaceful. May you live with ease. Again, staying with the body, noticing how this feels to offer these well wishes to someone that's in some form challenging. And to bow that person out of the mind. And to recall, if you can, that beautiful collage of women's faces before we started. To imagine sending these phrases of loving kindness to each of us, picturing if it's helpful us in a circle, perhaps at night under gorgeous stars, a bonfire, and these well wishes passing from one woman to the next, may you be happy, may you be healthy, may you be peaceful, may you be safe from inner and outer harm. May your goodness protect you. And this momentum that gathers as these well wishes pass from woman to woman. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be safe from inner and outer harm. May your goodness protect you. May your life unfold with ease. And imagining the generative quality of these well wishes as they pass from one of us to the next, to the next. So that these well wishes spill over from our circle and travel in the six directions above and below, north, east, west, and south, touching all beings who are celebrating marriages and births, all beings who are mourning deaths, beings in prisons, beings in playgrounds, beings in power, beings who are powerless. May all beings everywhere be happy. May all beings everywhere be healthy. May all beings everywhere be safe from inner and outer harm. May all beings have ease. May the goodness in all beings protect them.